Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Memhei, and we are about 25 lines from the bottom of daf Mem Dalid Amid Bey. So we're continuing to discuss the halachas of somebody that was Chayiv Mises Bezdin, specifically Skila. But the Gemara digressed into a little bit of Agadita, because one of the halachas regarding someone that was Chayiv Mises Bezdin is learned out from Achan. Achan was mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. He was the one person who went against Yeshua Ben Nun's instructions. He benefited from the spoils of Yericho. Hashem was really angry. He tells Yeshua, Chati Yisrael. The Yidin suffered a little bit of a defeat in the battle right after that of Yericho, the battle of Ai. 36 people died. Machlokes in the Gemara. Rav Nechemya says it wasn't 36. The Pasuk says, Kish Loishim Beshisha, it was one person, Ya'ir, the son of Menashe, who was Shokel, Kirubashas and Hedron. He was Shokel like 36 people. But regardless, we learned from Achan the idea that before somebody was given Mises Bezdin, he had to say Vidui, he had to do Tshuva, because Mises Bezdin in and of itself wasn't a Mechaper. It was only together with Tshuva that there was a Kapara. Bottom line, we got into a whole digression, a whole Sugya of Divrei Agada regarding Achan. Says the Gemara, Minayin Shekipra. So Yeshua Ben Nun tells Achan, do tshuva. Achan does tshuva. He says, Vidui, Amna chatasi l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael, v'kazois, v'kazois asisi. That's the pasuk that the Gemara brings. And then the Mishnah says that we know for a fact that Achan's tshuva was niskabel. Ordinarily, a person does tshuva, he doesn't know if his tshuva is niskabel. But here already, the pasuk was megala that his tshuva was niskabel. How do we know that? So the Mishnah quoted a pasuk by Yemi Yeshua. Yeshua says, Machar tanu yakrecha Hashem b'yem hazeh. Today you're achor v'iyaka achor lo'ilum abba. Says the Gemara, Tanu rabbi, minayin she'i b'lei vidui v'had. You know that the vidui of Achan was accepted. Shenema, the pasuk says, v'yemi lo Yeshua, Ma'achar tanu yakrecha Hashem b'yem hazeh. The pasuk that the Mishnah brought, Hayoyim hazeh ata achor, v'i ata achor lo'olam abba. V'ksiv, but the Braisa brings another source that Achan's tshuva was accepted. The pasuk says, in Divrei Hayomim, uvnei zerach, zimri, ve'eson, ve'hemon, ve'kilkel, ve'dora. So Zerach had five sons, and the pasuk lists who the five sons were. Now Chazal had a Messiah that Zimri, who's mentioned in this pasuk, is Achan. So Achan of Sefer Yeshua is Zimri in this pasuk, not to be confused with Zimri of Parshas Pinchas. And the pasuk concludes and says, Kulam Chamisha, they're five, says the Gemara, Kulam Chamisha, I could do the back of the envelope arithmetic myself. My Kulam Chamisha, why the pasuk have to count them for me? To teach me, Kulam Chamisha Heim Lo'il Mabo, that all five sons are going to go to Olam Haba. What's the Chiddush? Even Achan, who was the Chati Yisrael, he was the one who benefited from the spoils of Yerichai. His tshuva was accepted. That's how we know that he is Mezum al-Chai Olam Haba. Says the Gemara, Ksiv Zimri, it says in Divrei Hayomim, that pasuk over there refers to Achan as Zimri, v'ksiv Achan. So what was his real name? Was it Zimri or was it Achan? We know they didn't have two names back in the day. So which one was it? One of them must be the real name. The other one is not the real name. Rav Shmuel, Machlekes Rav Shmuel, once said Achan Shmai. His name was Achan. V'loba nikra Shmai Zimri, she'asa maise Zimri, because he behaved like Zimri. Zimri was nichshol in Gilui Arayos. So too, Achan was nichshol in Gilui Arayos. Would we have Achan doing Gilui Arayos? I thought Achan just benefited from the cherem. He just benefited from the spoils of Yericha. It's the Gemara, and Dalet Amin Aleph, where the Gemara says that Achan violated all Chamisha Chumshei Torah. He was even Boil Naira Murasa. So the Gemara had said, Amem Dal and Amem Aleph, that Achan was over Gili Aroyas, just like Zimri. V'chad Amar, Zimri Shmai, really his name was Zimri, V'loma Nikra Shmai Achan, why was it called Achan? She'ichen Avoynoi Seyem Shal Yisrael. Rashi says, Achan is Miloshen Taner Achnoi. Remember the Taner Achnoi, Rabbi Eliezer Gadol, Achan is a snake. So he caused the Averis of Klal Yisrael to encircle them, to engulf them, just like a snake will encircle its prey. So he caused the Chati Yisrael, he caused the Yidin to sin. He was the catalyst, so to speak, of the Chati Yisrael, just like the snake that encircles. V'yinaku. So the Mishnah concluded, and the Mishnah said that when the person that's Chayiv Mises Bezdin says Vidui, he should only be Misvada, he should only do Tshuva on the Avera that he's being killed for, if he's really guilty. But says Rabbi Yehuda, if he knows that really he's innocent, misasi kapora al kol avoy noisai chutz mizeh. Then he should say that I'm being killed now, and this misot should be mechaper on my averis, but not on this particular averis that I'm being killed for, because I'm innocent. So he should say vidoy, but he doesn't necessarily have to accept guilt for that averis being killed for. Sometimes an innocent man is killed. So if he's in fact guilty, then yeah. But if he's not guilty, Rabbi Yehuda said, make it very clear, delineate it in your vidoy. Say that I'm not being misvad on this averis. Omer loy, the Chachamim told him, Imkein, if you're going to instruct him to do that, Yehu kol adam, Omer imkein kedei lenakis atzmo. You're going down a very slippery slope, because you're going to cause other people, even people that are really guilty, to say that they're innocent. Freit the Gemara. The Yinaku Atzman, who cares? Meaning, why do we care? The Chachamim come with a whole time to Rabbi Yehuda. You, Rabbi Yehuda, are saying that if a person's innocent, he shouldn't be misvado. He shouldn't take responsibility for doing an aveira that he didn't really do. Why? Because then even a guilty person, who really should be taking responsibility for this aveira, may not take responsibility. Who cares? What's the great stakes over here that we're so worried about this? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Because it's very nice that this person is saying that I'm innocent, but he's doing it on the cheshbon of Bezdin. He's doing it on the cheshbon of Edom, because now people are going to say, Bezdin killed an innocent man. These Edom, they lied. They were shankronim, an innocent person died. So it's very nice that he wants to make himself look good and maybe absolve his family from the shame rat that's going to come about by him being killed by Bezdin, but you're doing it on somebody else's cheshbon. That's why the Chachamim weren't okay with it. Tanur Rabbah, Ma'aseh Ba'al Mechad, was a story with the person, Sheyatzik L'Horeg, who was taken to be killed. Omar, he said, as he's being hung, Im yesh bi avayn zeh, if I did this avera, lo'itehem bi sasi kaporo l'chol avayn noisai, that I don't want this misa to be mechaper any of the averis that I did. Then ain't be avoin zeh, but if I'm innocent, then tehein misasi kapara l'chol avoin noisai, then let my misa now be a kapara in all my averis. Ubezdin v'chol yisrom menukim. Despite the fact that I'm innocent, I'm moichol bezdin klal yisrom, it's okay, but v'ho edim, the edim that testified against me, who lied, lo tehein lehem mechila lo'ilam. So that's what this person said as he was being killed. Shamu chachamim v'davar, the chachamim heard, Amru, they said, there's nothing we can do. Meaning they were standing there, and they heard this plea that this person made. He was saying he's innocent. And he was so sure that he was innocent, he said that if I'm guilty, then I'm going to die for nothing. I don't want this misa to be mechaper. And then he talks about not being moichel the edim. So the chachamim weren't sure what to do. They said, lachziroi, to not kill the person, because we already paskin that he's chayim misa. Eli yehoreg, we have no choice. We have to kill him. And if in fact he's innocent, and the edim lied, then you know what? The edim are going to have to carry on their conscience the fact that they killed this innocent man. What's the chiddush of the story? What, there was a havamina? That because this person made this emotional plea before he was being executed, that maybe now we should undo the psak halacha and we shouldn't kill these people? Kol kemine? What? It's sad to believe in. The Gemara says, L'tzricha l'kadji b'asahadi. What happened was, even the Edom themselves came around. The Edom were chayzer, and they said that we lied. But the Gemara says, who cares? V'chi hadji b'hu mahavi. That's still not a basis for us to undo this. Because kivan shehigit shuveni chayzer u'magid, Edom are not allowed to say Edos and then retract their testimony. Says the Gemara, L'tzricha the afal gaf the kayavi time l'mosayu. The chiddush was that the Edom themselves were chayzer. Not only were they chayzer, they even came with a story, an alibi of why it was they originally lied, and it seemed to have made sense. So the chachamim, they got together, they huddled, they said, you know something, I hear what the edim are saying, this person seems pretty confident that he's innocent, we may be killing an innocent man, maybe we should take it back. They felt that they couldn't do it. Kfar nigzer, gzeir, like the Gemara says, there was already a psak that this person needs to be executed, and that's why they didn't take this back. Yeah, who maisa the bayi michsa? It's in parentheses. Clearly, Rashi didn't have it in parentheses because it's a very long Rashi who tells us what the story is. It takes up the whole left side of Daf Mem Dalid on the base. Zok the Mishnah Vayter. Hoyu rochik mi beis askilo. So we're getting a little bit closer now. We're rochik mi beis askilo arba amos. So when they were 10 amos from the Beis HaSkila, they would tell him, do tshuva. Now they're a little bit closer. Arba amos, mashit noisei spagodov. So they would undress him. Ho'ish, a man, mechasa noisei milfonov. So they would cover him, milfonov, by his makam erva. Ve'ho'isha, if it was a woman that was getting skila, they would cover her milfonel, in front, u'me'achareh, and also from behind her. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, the chachamim say, ho'ish niskol arum, ve'ein ho'isha niskelas aruma. A woman was not niskelas aruma. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, ho'ish mechasa noisei. perek echad milfonov, the isha shnei perokin, bein milfoneo, bein milachareo, b'nesha kule ervo, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So this is the same Rabbi Yehuda as we had in the Mishnah. The only thing you see in the Braisa that you didn't see in the Mishnah is perek echad. Rashi says, what does perek echad mean? Ma'at, a little bit. So a man, they would cover a little bit milfonov, and a isha also a little bit, so she wasn't, he wasn't completely covered. But by the man it was perek echad, by the woman it was shnei perok. It's the same chacham that we had in our Mishnah. A woman was never niskel sarum. What's the pshat of the rabbanon? Oh my God, they learned from a pasuk. It says virogmu oisai, that they would stone him. My oisa. Doesn't mean that only a man would get skila, not a woman. The pasuk says, it's in the context of avodah zarah. That if a man is avodah zarah, then it's voitzei so se ishahu. If a woman is avodah zarah, then it's voitzei so eso ishahi. So you can't tell me the reason the pasuk emphasizes oisoi when it talks about skila is because only the man got skila, not the woman. We know the woman would get skila as well. My oisoi, oisoi beloik susai. It's only oisoi that he was niskal arum without wearing any clothing, oisa, but she was biksusa. Rabbi Yehuda says no, oisai beloik susai. Oisai is coming to teach me beloik susai, and loishno ish veloishno isha. He's beloik susai, and she's going to be beloik susa. In other words, a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, and the chachamim of exactly how they gave skila to a woman. When they gave skila to a man, they would undress him, they would just give him a perek echad, a little something to cover his makam hamila. A woman, machlekes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the same thing, but whereas a man, they would only cover him a little bit, milfaneh, a woman, it was milfaneh, ume la'achareh, whereas according to the chachamim, ha'ish niskal, arim ve'eno isha niskal saruma, a woman would be fully dressed when she was given skill. Now the Gemara says, what's the makar? So you think maybe it's svar, it's not svar. It's actually learned out from psukim. It says, v'rogmu oisai, it doesn't mean to exclude a woman from skila. It must mean that the process of skila was different for a man than it was for a woman. Say, the chachamim, in fact it was. A man was arim, a woman was an aruma. Rabbi Yehuda does not mask him to the Josh. It says the Gemara, l'meim the Rabbanu chayshi le'erhura, v'Rabbi Yehuda le'chayshi le'erhura. Meaning, we're saying that the makar to the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda le'chachavim is psukim, but at the end of the day, it seems to come down to a svara. Right here, it would be very reasonable for everyone to be derish time in the Korah. And that is the chachamim are probably worried about here. We don't want people. Everyone's going to come out and they're going to see what happened. So we don't want people to look at this woman who's not dressed properly. So by a man, there's no such chashash. By a woman, there is a chashash. So it sounds like the chachamim are worried about here. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about here. The problem is, we have a machloikis with Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim themselves, the very same machloikis tanon, and it's just the opposite. Tanon, when the Mishnah, was brought in front of the Kohen, the Kohen would grab onto her clothing and would rip, like yank, and nikru, the nifrimu, and we weren't concerned whether the clothing that she was wearing ripped or didn't rip. To the contrary, it was okay, achabagales, libo, vesoyseh, till she was exposed and her hair was uncovered. Rabbi Yehuda said, im hoya libo na, lehoya megaleo. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be concerned. She's libana, a sirena. We don't want to expose her. And the chachamim are not worried. What does the machlokes seem to be? Rabbi Yehuda is worried about her. People are going to be there. They're going to see her. Whereas the chachamim are not worried about her. It's just the opposite. In our mission, the chachamim say that eino isha niskela saruma. Why? Because we're worried about her. And then when it comes to the soita, who's in the Beis HaMikdash, we have no problem of being Megala Liba, being Megala Saira. And Rabbi Yehuda says just the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is not worried about her. Ha'isha, she's also in Niskela Saruma, albeit Perek Echad Milfanel, Me'lacharel. But she's in Niskela Saruma, whereas in the Mishnah in Saita, Rabbi Yehuda is already worried. He says, M'hoye Liba na, lo'hoye Megaleo. V'm'hoye Saira na, lo'hoye Saisre. Amma, Rabba said, the two cases are very different. Why? Hasan Hainu time in the case of Saito, the reason Rabbi Yehuda was worried was because he was worried that maybe this woman will be found to be innocent. Maybe she's not going to die as a result of drinking the Beis Saito. The Iskaru ba Pirchei Kuno, and the Pirchei Kuno who were in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that this happened will remember her and they're going to run after her. So Rashi and Saito is a little bit more clear. She says that they're going to be pulled towards her because of what they saw. But hach over here, what are you worried about? Hamikdala. Here we're discussing someone that's being given skila, someone that's being killed. Being that she's being killed over here, there's not going to be a chashash. I says the Gemara v'chi teima, Rabbi Yehuda should say asi la'askure b'achanai. So enachanami, this woman herself doesn't have to be worried. But maybe the pirchei kahuna or whoever it is that sees her now, they're going to have a hearer, and that hero will bring to a taiva for another woman. On my rabbi community, we have a messiah ein yetzahara shoylet ela b'misha ein avroyes. That's something already we don't have to worry about, because there's a messiah that the yetzahara could only get a person to want something that he actually sees. But if somebody sees Rachel, it's not going to cause him to have a taiva for Leah. Zoy zok the gemara. On my rava, so rava said the rabbi Yehuda, the rabbi Yehuda kasha, the rabbanon, the rabbanon like kasha. He says just answer the stira. The rabbi Yehuda, the Yehuda, very nice. Rabbi Yehuda is worried about here in the case of Saita, because maybe she's going to be innocent. Rabbi Yehuda's not worried about hearer in our Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin because she's being killed. I, the hearer of this woman, may lead to hearer of another woman. For that, Rabbi said, Gemiri, ein yetzahara shoylet, ela b'misha ein avrayis. But that only answers the stira, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda. But the Gemara says, what about the stira, the Rabbanon, the Rabbanon? How are we answering that? If anything, it's just the opposite. The Rabbanon are worried about hearer when it comes to skila, despite the fact that she's nine. And somehow, when it comes to soita, over there, we're not worried. Ela maravah, so Rava said, you have to say as follows. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, kasha k'dashan. The teretz to the stira, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, is what we just said. In one case, she may live. In the other case, she's not going to live. The Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, Nami lo kasha. The stira, the Rabbanon, is not a kasha. Why? A makro. Because the pasuk says, V'nivosru kol hanoshim, V'loisa seno kizimaschena. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Chav Gimel. Meaning, the Rabbanon felt that it's good for this woman to be embarrassed, even though it's coming at the expense of a potential hearer with the Pirchei Kahuna, in the case of Soita, because we want women to take note and see what's going to happen if they commit this Avera. That if a woman does this Avera, Kinu Istira, she's potentially Mezana Tachas Baila, she could end up getting embarrassed. How so? That she's going to be standing in the Mokum HaMikdash exposed in a very embarrassing way. So Enechinami, there is an element of her, but at the same time, there's another cheshbon. The cheshbon of V'nivosru kol anoshim v'loy saseno kisim ascheno. And that's why the Rabbanon allow the Kohen to expose. If that's the case, why don't we do the same thing over here? Why, when it comes to skilo, ha'ish niskal arim ve'ina ishko niskela saruma, says the Gemara, ein l'cha yisr gadol mizeh. You don't need more than that. She's being stoned. She's being killed. So you're going to tell me, in addition to being stoned, she's also going to be exposed. It's not going to help. Memelo, there's no upside really of doing it. If there's no upside, all there is downside. The potential hearer. So like this, we don't do it. Meaning the Rabbanon agree that there's an element of hearer. L'chura. That's probably why the Rabbanon said in our Mishnah, ha'ish niskol arum, ve'ena ishkol niskel saruma. The kasha is, if they're worried about hero over here, then kal v'chaymer, they should be worried about hero when it comes to soita. Over there, she may live. Yiskaru ba'pircha kihuna. The teretz is, it's true, they are worried about hero, but they have to balance it with v'nivasru kol anoshim, v'lo yisaseh n'kizim aschena. That is what trumps, that is what the chachamim felt is what should take precedence, and that's why they would expose her, despite the fact that it came at the expense of a potential hearer. Says the Gemara, V'chi temali evid batarti. But the Gemara asks another kasha. In our Mishnah, I understand that she's going to be embarrassed anyways. She's anyways going to be having a bad day, right? She's about to be killed. So from the v'nivosru kol anoshim perspective, the women are going to know not to do averis because you're going to see what could potentially happen. But still, maybe embarrass her also. Maybe she's a rasha, we're killing her. So why are we so sensitive to her? Why are we so sensitive? Adarabo, let's make it even more. Let's add on, tack on, as much punishment as we could possibly tack on. The Gemara says that's not something we do. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Barabu, Amar Kro, the pasuk says, V'yahavto l'reyach ha'kamoicha, and we learn from there, Beror loy misa yafa, that even though we're giving somebody misas bezin, but at the same time, we have to be sensitive to the way we give misas bezin. Right? So we've been talking, one of the themes we've had over the last few weeks is that when bezin would kill somebody, they would have to balance two psukim. On the one hand, it says, ubiyarta rami kirbecha. On the other hand, it says, v'tzilu eida. Right? So if this person is guilty, you have to kill him. But then again, v'tzilu eida, you have to try to do everything you possibly do not to kill the person. And it's a fine line. You see, many halachas that are governed by Ubiyarta Rami Kirbecha, and then you have many halachas that are governed by the Tzilu Eda. This is a third pasuk that the Dayan had a heaven's in it. And that is V'yahavta L'Reyacha Kameicha. We learn from here, Berar Loi Misa Yafa. So either way, say the Rabbanan, and that's why we're not just going to go ahead and we're not going to embarrass her. Freit the Gemara. So does Rabbi Yehud and the Mishnah not hold of Berar Loi Misa Yafa? Meaning, Rabbi Yehud and the Mishnah said that let her be Niskelas Aruma. Why aren't you worried about her? Not worried about her, because Gemiri Ein Yetzahara Shoylet Ela B'Misha Ein Avrayas. And that's why even the very same Rabbi Yehuda was worried about her when it comes to the Mishnah in Saita, is not worried about her over here. But the kash is, what happened to Rav Nachman's Cheshbin? Rav Nachman just said, V'yahavta L'Reyacha Kameicha Bror Lo Misa Yof. So I understand, Rabbi Yehuda, you're not worried about her, but still, I'll give you another reason why she shouldn't be Niskela Saruma, because of Bror Lo Misa Yof. So says the Gemara, Lema de Rav Nachman Tanoi, should we say that it's only the Chachamim in our Mishnah that hold the Yahavta L'Reyacha Kameicha Bror Lo Misa Yof, whereas Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah doesn't agree with that? So the Gemara says, Loi, the Kuli Yama Isul Rav Nachman, really Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, they both hold like Rav Nachman, there's an idea of Bror Lo Misa Yof. And if it was Poshet that the Misa Yofa would be for this woman to be fully dressed when she is killed, when she is given skila, everybody would agree she should be fully dressed. What then is the machloek? Is why does Rabbi Yehuda say that she's niskela saruma b'hocha baka miflegi? Mar sova b'zioinit inish hadifa leitfei minaycha de gufei u'mar sova nicha de gufei adav mi b'zioinit. Because the truth is, there's two ways to look at this. On the one hand, there's a misa yafa by this woman being dressed. What's the misa yafa? She's not going to be as embarrassed. But then again, if she's going to be dressed, it's going to take her a little bit longer to die, because the clothing are going to inhibit her death. And as a result, she's going to have to suffer a little bit more as she's stoned to death. And that was the Shiloh. The Shiloh was, is the Misa Yafa to have her dressed, she shouldn't suffer the Bezoyan, despite the fact that it's going to come at the expense of more physical pain, because her death is going to be somewhat prolonged. Or maybe to the contrary, maybe it's better to undress her and let her be Soivel, the emotional pain, the embarrassment that she's going to have, but at the same time, she'll have less physical pain. She's going to die a little bit quicker. And that was the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda held that it's better for her to be embarrassed, but she shouldn't suffer physically so long. That's why her isha's niskela saruma. Whereas the Chachamim said just the opposite. A person would rather suffer a little bit more physical pain, not to be embarrassed. That's why the Chachamim say, her isha niskel arum, ve'ein her isha niskela saruma. But as it relates to the Yehavta L'Reyacha Kameicha, Beror Loi Misa Yafa, everybody agrees to this idea, that there is an idea of Beror Loi Misa Yafa. A little bit more good. So the Mishnah writer, Beis Haskila, so the Beis Haskila was 2 stories high. Now, what is 2 stories high? We'll see in the Gemara. It means that it was twice the height of the average person. So whatever the average person's height is, you would double that. That was the height of the Beis Haskila. One of the Edom would come, and he would hold him by his hip, and he would push him down the Shtei Koimus. Nepechaliboy, to the extent that he ended up landing on his lathe, meaning chest down, hoifchay al masnav, then the aid would come and he would flip him around so that he's lying on his hip. The imespa, if he died, yes, then there's really nothing to do. The imlav, if however, after the aid knocked the person that's chayiv skila down, the person was still alive. Hasheni, the second aid, noitel ha'evin, would come, he would take a stone. For noisnei aliba, he would put it on his chest. Imespa, if he died, that's fine, yatsa. V'imlav, if he still didn't die, rigimase b'chol Yisrael, then all of Klal Yisrael would come, and they would all stone him, shenemar, because the pasuk says, yada edim tia boi b'rishayna l'hamisoy, v'yad kolom b'achreina. The first, the yada edim gets involved in killing this person, and if it's not Yad HaEdim, then Yad Kol HaOm B'Achrayim. So we have a mission over here that's describing the technical details of how a person got skila. Now, the literal definition of the word skila is to stone a person. Stating that, we just read a Mishnah, that's not the way skila played itself out. The way skila played itself out is that first the person would be thrown down, he'd be thrown off a cliff. Now, it wasn't a very steep cliff. It was Gavoya Shtei Koimos, but he would be thrown down, and sometimes he would die just from being thrown down. It was only in the event that he didn't die when he was knocked down, that afterwards they would stone him. And the truth is that if you look in the psukim of the Torah, where the Torah talks about skila, and it's in Parshas Shoftim, Perek Yud Zayin, it's talking about somebody that was Oved Avodah Zarah. Says the pasuk, Voitzeso se ishahu. Oh yes, so Isha here, she also has a dover around there, or Sharecha, and so Ish, oh yes, so Isha, Uskaltam ba'avonim v'meso. That's Skila. What is Skila? Uskaltam ba'avonim v'meso. The Pasuk says, Alpishnaim edem, Ashloish edem, Yumas v'meso, Yumas alpiyadachod. And then the Torah says, Yado edem, Tiabai b'rishayna l'amisoy. First, the edem should be involved in killing this person. V'yad kolom ba'achroina, the immortal words, Ubiyarta rami kirbecha. But what is the definition of Skila? Uskaltam. It doesn't say anything about pushing this person off a cliff. So where does pushing the person off the cliff come from? The truth is, the Gemara is going to say it, but we'll just, as a hakdama, it's really in Parshas Yisroi. In Parshas Yisroi, when Hashem gave the Torah on Har Sinai, so Hashem tells Moshe, V'gbalta es ha'om saviv leimar, hi shomru lechem alois bahar, unegaya bekatzeo, kolanegeya bahar moishumas. Nobody's allowed to touch the mountain. You have to be very careful. Nobody is allowed to go on Har Sinai. Lo yisiga boy, ki sokol yisokol, because any person that goes on Har Sinai, sokol yisokol, is going to be chayiv miso. How are they going to kill him? Skilo, or yara yara, or he's going to be thrown in behema if it's a behema, emish if it's a person. So we have a pasuk that describes sokol yisokel, and at the same time it also says a yara yara. So either he's going to be stoned, or he's going to be thrown. And we learn from here that that's the way every skilo was. Skilo was first yara yara, and afterwards it was sokol yisokol. Either way, so the Mishnah described it. So the person would go on top of this platform. It was gavaya shtei koimos. The first eight would come, he would push him down. If he died, fine. If not, the other eight would come, he would stone him. If he died, fine. If not, so the platform was two koimos tall, plus you have his height. Together it's three. Me being a kulei, I faith the Gemara. Does it have to be that tall? In the middle, ask you a kasha. Ma barishu kidei lahamis asar tefachim af kol kidei lahamis asar tefachim. We know from Bava Kama that one of our ba'avos nezikin is bar. And how deep does this bar have to be in order for it to be a bar, for the bala bar to be chayiv? It has to be 10 tefachim deep. What's the svar of 10 tefachim? It has to be kidei lahamis. You see that if a person falls 10 tefachim, it's already kidei lahamis. So the cash is, the why did it have to be shtei koimos, which is a lot more than 10 tefachim? Shouldn't 10 tefachim be enough? Now, at first glance, Bava Kama 101, shor v'loy adam, chamor v'loy kelim. So when you talk about kidei lahamis by a bar, we're not talking about an adam. If I care, it's shor v'loy adam. It's shor v'loy adam. Stating that, the Gemara holds that if 10 tefachim is kidei lahamis for a shor, it should be kidei lahamis for an adam as well. Amar Rav Nachman, you want to know why it was a little taller? Amar Rabbi Baravua, Amar Kra, v'ahavto l'reyacha kamoicha, the same idea that we saw in the previous Gemara. Barar loy misa yafa. Because if the cliff is going to be so short, then the person may die, but if he dies, it's going to be very painful. If he falls from higher, then like this, the misa will be a misa yach. Ihach, he said, the Gemara says, look bait fei, so let him fall from really high. So the Gemara says, mishum de minvo. Again, you have to balance that. Im gevoya yoysem idai, says Rashi, mispazer gufay, ve'ivara misparkim, ve'kresay nefkas. What's going to happen is, his body parts are going to be all over the place. So again, it's not going to be considered the misa yach. So the Chacham came up with what they felt was the right height for it to be a misa yafa, but at the same time for it not to be a nivul, and they felt shtei koimis, that was that year. How do you know that skila involves tchia? Again, we read the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say anything about tchia. It says uskaltem bavon. We learn it from parashas Yisroi. It says yoroi. That if somebody would touch Har Sinai, it says soko yisokel or yoroi yoroi. So it says clearly yoroi in that parasha, and we learn from there that there's an element of pushing down a cliff when it comes to skilo. Uminayin shebe skilo. How do you know that skilo involves stoning? Talmud loy mesokel. Uminayin shebe skilo ubetchia. Talmud loy mesokel yisokel or yari yari. Uminayin shemeis betchia yatsa. How do you know that you don't have to do the skilo? The only time you do the skilo is if the person didn't die, right? That's what the Mishnah said. They would push him down. If he died, yatsa. There was nothing else to do. Maybe you have to stone him even after he died. Talmud loy mer or yari yari. It's one or the other. I mean, you could be yatsa with one. Uminayin shafladaris. This is all learned out from Parshas Yisroi. That was a special parsha, a hirah shah, regarding Har Sinai. How do you know that this is true even for future generations? Talmud Loimar, it says, Sokol Yisrael. Sokel, says Rashi, Loshen Osid, and we learn from here that even in the future, this is what the halacha is going to be, that any person that's ever going to be Chayiv Skila, first it's going to be Yore, Yore, then it's going to be Sokel, Yisokel, it could be both, it could be one. That parsha is the melamed for all chayvei skilo. Mishnah said, "Vim lav eid ansheni noitlosah." So the first aid would push him down. If he didn't die, the other aid would pick up the evan and he would throw it on him. Noitel afraid to gemara. The other aid is going to pick up this stone by himself. A tiny little bit of the price. The stone that was used to give somebody skilo was so heavy that it required two people to carry it. Noitla. And one of the Edom would pick it up, the noise naliboy, and he would throw it on the person that was being killed. In Meis Bayotza. What's the kasha? The kasha is that how could the Mishnah say that one of the Edom picked up the stone by himself? The Mishnah says it was Masu Shnei Bnei Adam. It required two people to lift it. So we're asking a kasha from this Brisa to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that one aid, the other aid, not the one that pushed this person down, the other aid would take the stone and he would throw it on this person. What's the kasha? The kasha is from a braisa. The braisa says that the eved was Masu Shnei Bnei Adam. If it was Masu Shnei Bnei Adam, how was one person able to pick it up? So we're asking a kasha from a Mishnah to a braisa. But the Gemara says, Oli Tamech, Tikshi Lachi Gufa. If you think there's a kasha from the Braisa to the Mishnah, could you explain to me, please, how you read the Braisa? Right, the Gemara is approaching as if the Braisa makes sense. I just don't know how to reconcile the Braisa with the Mishnah. How do you understand the Mishnah? How do you understand the Braisa? The Braisa said, Masu Shnei Bnei Adam, that the Evan required two people to lift it, and then it says, Noitla, Loshen Yachid. One of them took it, V'nois Naliba. Ella, what do you have to say? Had you probably read the Braisa? The Madli Lebahadi Chavrin. The two people lifted it together. So two people are holding it. And then V'shadu Le'iyu. One person uses his force to throw it. So the other person is holding it. He's spotting him. But the other person is the one that's throwing it. Ki'echi, the Tesi Marzi. Whatever. They felt that that's the best way to kill this person. That's what the Mishnah means as well. Anachanami. The Mishnah is just describing the other aid as being the one that's throwing it. It's his force that's ultimately the yara yara. But Enochinami, because it's Masu Shnei Bnei Adam, both of them had to carry it. V'im lav rigi mosai. So the Mishnah said that the second aid would be the first one to stone this person. If the person died, yatsa. And if not, the rest of Klal Yisrael got involved. Atanya afraid to gemara kasha. But we learned in a braisa, mi oylem leishana ba'adam, that it was never necessary for another person to have to stone him. What's the kasha? So why does the Mishnah have to tell me that if the second aid, the first person to stone this person, didn't kill him, the rest of Klal Yisrael got involved? Didn't the Braisa say that it never happened? So the Gemara says, Mika Amina David? This Mishnah didn't say it happened. The Mitzrach Kamina. The Mishnah just telling me the halacha. Doesn't necessarily mean that it happened. Achas. Even sheniskaba, the achas eats shenitla olav, the echot sayev shenerek boy, the echot sudar shenechnak boy, kula nikbar nimai. We have a brisa that says that when a person was given mises bezin, so they would bury the even sheniskaba, the eats shenitla olav, the sayev shenerek boy. So whatever the implement that was used to give mises bezin was buried together with the person that was given mises bezin. What's the kasha? The Mishnah seems to describe, or the brisa, even hoisa sham masush. As if this was the Evan that was always used to give people skila. I thought the Evan that was used once was buried, so it can never be the same Evan. Says the Gemara, it's not the same Evan, it's not one Evan, but there always had to be an Evan. So if somebody was given skila, they would take the Evan, they would bury it together with the person that was giving skila, and then they would replace it. They would put another Evan there. So there was always an Evan, true. It's also true that the Evan was always buried. It's not a stira. They would bury the Evan that was there then, and they would replace it with another Evan. Nikbar Nimai. The Brisa says that it was Nikbar Imai. Vatanya, we learned to the Brisa, ain't Nikbar Nimai. Omara Papa, my Imai, Imai, Bitfusasi. The Brisa that says Imai, it's true, it was Bitfusasi. Rashi says it was within his Dalaramas. The Brisa that says ain't Nikbar Nimai means it wasn't literally in the same coffin, but it was Imay enough that it was within his dalanams. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, famous halacha, nikta oyado edim pata. If edim come, they testify, Reuven was Michal Shabbos, b'mezid, he's chayev skilo. And before they're able to give him skilo, nikta oyado edim. The aid, Shailun the Rishonim, one of the edim, or both of the edim, loses his hand. The halacha is potter. My timer. Shmuel said the beino yado edem tia boy berishoyna v'leka. Because one of the crucial halachas in skila is yad ha edem tia boy berishoyna. If the eid doesn't have a yad, if he doesn't have a hand, there's no way for him to fulfill this pasuk. Elam yad afraid to gemara edem gidomim de meikara hachinami de psili. Let's say you have an eid who never had a hand. It should come out according to Shmuel. He's also going to be pasul because he can't be mekayim yad edem tia boy berishoyna. What's the kasha? Shmuel didn't say that. What did Shmuel say? Nikta oyado edem. Shmuel's case is a real milsa de leshchicha, where the edem had a hand, they said edos, and before there was an ability to give the person misas bezdin, they lost their ability to do so. Nikta oyado edem. It's only then Shmuel seems to be saying that the halacha is that the person's going to be off the hook. He's going to be pater. But let's say the person was a gidem. He never had a hand to begin with. It sounds like he's going to be okay. But the Gemara's kasha is why? If Shmuel's mekar is yado edem tiyabay barishayna, and it's li'ikuva, it's ma'akiv this halacha. It has to be literally yad ha'edem. So afraid the Gemara, edem gidomin, should also be possible. And it's not mashma that way from Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasim, Dom Makro, Yad Ha Edim Shahisakfa. Now you don't understand the drasha. The drasha is not that you have to have a yad. That's not the drasha. But the drasha is that whatever the yad was at the time of the Edos, that has to be the yad at the time of the skila. So if somebody had a regular yad at the time of the Edos, and he has a yad at the time of the skila, then everything is fine. But if somebody's had a yad, or somebody was a gidem at the time of the Eidos, and then he was a gidem at the time of the Skilo, that's also going to be fine. The only time it's an issue is if somebody had a yad at the time of the Eidos, and now he's a gidem at the time of the Misa. It's not yad ha-edem shahoysa kfar. That's where there's going to be an issue. Meitzvei, komo kamshi idu shnayim. Anytime two people say Eidos, v'yermun, they say, me'idin anu b'shploini, shenigmar dina bebezden ploini, u ploini eidov, hareze yehoreg. So the Braisa says, if two people would walk into Bezden and they would say, I didn't see Reuven kill anybody, or I didn't see Reuven be Michal Shabbos, but I was in a court, and I saw two Eidim tell Bezdin that they saw Reuven was Chayiv Misa, and Bezdin prosecuted him, etc. And they paskin that Reuven is Chayiv Skila. You know what Allah is? Hareza Yehoreg. Bezdin, this is not called Eid Mipiei. If the Eidim say that we witnessed the Gemar Din from Bezdin that this person is Chayiv Misa, Bezdin will cross-examine these two Eidim, and if they find out that he's really Chayiv Misa, Bezdin will give him Misa. What's the kasha? The kasha is, if you're telling me there's a halacha in Hilchas Skila that you need yad ha'edim tia by Barishayna, you need the yad ha'edim to kill him. Over here you don't have the yad, you don't even have the edim. All you have is edim that witnessed a gemar din. Tirgum Shmuel, Shmuel said a chiddush, but hein edim. It's talking about the same edim that had originally testified in Bezdin, the same edim that said that we saw Reuven be Michal Shabbos, now went to another Bezdin, and they told Bezdin, I'm letting you know, that we testified at another Bezdin, that Bezdin found this person guilty of Skila, he has to get Skila, we're the Edom, we'll be able to be Mekayim the other Edom, meaning the other Edom are going to be there. But the Gemara says, Umi bi'ino and krok kedechsef, you know, we'll stop here, just we'll conclude with one final ha'ara, and that is, so we had twice on Aman Aleph, twice the idea of the Ahavta L'Reyacha Kamoicha, and the Gemara learns from the Ahavta L'Reyacha Kamoicha Beror Loi Misa Yafa. It's interesting that this person that's being given Misa's Bezdin at first glance is a Rasha, right? He's being given Misa's Bezdin because of an Aveira that he did, and still we learn a Halacha of the Ahavta L'Reyacha Kamoicha, and it would sound like then that there's an obligation to love your fellow Jew even if he's a Rasha. This fact that he's a Rasha doesn't mean that there's no chiyah v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha. V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha would seem to apply even to a Rasha. Because again, you're giving this person Mises Bezin. You're talking about Achon. You're talking about someone that was Chayiv Mises Bezin. And still there's a din of Brar Lai Misa Yafa. So it seems that v'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha applies even to somebody that's a Rasha. Now you can tell me. Maybe not. Because we know that the person now that he's been killed is going to get kapara. And they used to tell him to do tshuva. So this is a person that says Chatosi Lashem Elokei Yisrael. He's been given Misas Bezdin. So maybe he's really not a Rasha. And maybe that's why there's a V'yahavta L'reyacha Kamoicha. It's a good argument. The Rishonim make this argument. But I'm going to tell you a Shita Mekubet says in Perik Elu Nairis. Mesechtes Ksubis, Daflam Etzayin Amidbeis. The Gemara of the year 2 brings this halacha, V'yahavta L'reyacha Kamaycha, B'ror Loi Misayof, says the Shita Mekubet, is quoting the Yad Ramah, that V'cholhecha D'chsev Reyacha, wherever it says in the Torah the word Reyacha, Mashma Afilu Rosha, even a Rosha, shenis chayiv miso at the chayiv lachzar achar schusoy livler loy misa yofa the yesh lefarish the ahavtul reyacha loshin roim shebacha shenis chayiv miso bror loy misa yofa. Says the Shita Mekubet, says b'shem d'ramai, it's exactly true that there's a chiyuv the ahavtul reyacha kamoicha even for a Rosha, even for someone that's chayiv misa's bezen. And now I know that because it says the ahavtul reyacha. Reyacha means your friend, your buddy, your compadre, but it also means raw, a raw, bad guy. So he's a bad person, raw. That's what the word raw means. Still, there's going to be a chiyuv v'yahavta reyacha kamaycha. The reason this is interesting is because it's a Gemara Masechtes Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So we know the pasuk. The pasuk says ki sirech hamor soynacha. If you see your enemy and he's walking with his donkey, reivitz tachas masoy, and it's on the ground and it can't get up, v'chadalta me'azav li'azav tazavimun. The Torah says, overcome your inclination not to want to help him, because at the end of the day, you don't like the guy. He's your enemy. Still, you should go ahead and do it. Freik the Gemara, your enemy? We're talking about a yid. Umi shari lemisne? How could you hate another Jew? Vaksiv, the pasuk says, lo sisne sachicha bilvavecha. Says the Gemara, lemaskana. It's talking about the chazir be'iyu dvar erva. It's talking about that you saw this person do an avera. Dvar erva. And being that you saw him do an avera, there's no iser to hate him. So it's true, leisisna esachicha b'vavechem, but leisisna esachicha b'vavechem is only true, that's only true if, as far as you know, he's a good guy. But to the extent that you were raw by dvar erva, even if there's no edim, you saw it with your own eyes, now he's already soynacha, now you have a right to hate him. Says the Gemara, Rav Nachum by Yitzchok Amar, that if you see him doing avera, mitzvah l'snoysoy. You even have a mitzvah, shenema yiris Hashem soynei raw. People that are yoreh shemayim, they soynei raw. But the bottom line is you have a Gemara. It's a Gemara mefuresh. Psachim kuf yud gimel abedez. That even though it says in the Torah, leisisna esachicha b'vavecha, still, the only time leisisna esachicha b'vavecha is true is to the extent that you don't know the person's about avera. But if the person's about avera, then mutalis noisai. And it could be that not only mutalis noisai, it could be that it's even mitzvah lis noisai. How does it stem with what we just said? It's true even for people that are chayav misas bezin. Why? Because l'reyacha is miloshin ra. So could I hate him or could I not hate him? So what do you have to say? There's two dinim. There's a mitzvah saseh and there's a mitzvah lois saseh. The mitzvah lois saseh, lois sisna esachicha b'vavecha. That's a Gemara mefuresh, psachim kuf yud gimel amud beis. That only applies to someone that's not a Rosh. But if the person's a Rosh, a mutal is noisai, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak says even mitzvah is noisai. The mitzvah saseh, of yahavta l'reyacha kamaycha, that you have all the Gemaras in Shas, where the Gemara applies it to the ones that were chayiv misas bezdin, b'ror loy misa yofa. That's going to be true even for a Rosh. And the truth is, by the mitzvah saseh, it says, by the loisat say it says loisisna es ochicha, right? The Velt says, because when it comes to your brother, you know, we can't be tevei that you should love him. But at the very least, loisisna es ochicha. The reyacha, maybe it's even possible to be v'yahavta reyacha. But there's really a tifkait over here in the nuance, the subtlety of the word lireyacha versus the word ochicha. When it comes to loisisna, it's loisisna es ochicha. Ochicha means ochid b'mitzvahs. Ochicha is only someone that's not a rosha. Lireyacha, to the contrary, has the reverse connotation. When it comes to reyacha, it's afilu roim shabach. Therefore, v'yahavta reyacha kumaycha, even back by a ra. Perhaps a diak, if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, mitzvah reish lamitches, shaloi lisnoi achim. So at the very end, says the Chinuch, that uvenoi heges b'chol mokoim, uvechol zman, b'schorim uvenoi kevets. V'oivir alev, v'kov asinah b'liboi, over alav zeh, v'ein loikin olav, fish ein boi maiser. Then says the Chinuch, avu b'sinah so rishom, ein boi yisr. When it comes to a Rosh, there's no yisr, elo mitzvah lisnoisim, to the contrary. There's a mitzvah. First, you have to give him musr, the Chinuch says, but if he doesn't take your musr, then mitzvah is noisoy, and the Chinuch quotes a pasuk, haloi misanecha Hashem esno. Misanecha Hashem esno. If you forward three mitzvahs later, mitzvah reish mem aleph, reish mitzvah reish mem gimel, mitzvah zahavas Yisrael. So if I looked backwards and forwards, up and down. The chinuch does not bring this caveat. He doesn't say avol b'sinas harishon im b'yisr. He doesn't say it by the mitzvah havas yisrael. He says it by the loisase of shloilisnei achim, and he doesn't say when it comes to the mitzvah havas yisrael. What's the pshat? Because it's two dinim. There's the mitzvah's essence. There's mitzvah's loisase. The mitzvah's ase faker. It says v'yahavto l'reyacho. L'reyacho is miloshin ra. Even if he's a bad guy, still you have an obligation that you have to l'reyacho kamoicho. When it comes to the mitzvah's loisase, there it says loisisnei es achicho. Achicho ready is going to be different. So there's a chiluk between the mitzvah's ase and the mitzvah, and it's really a chiddush because usually you think of the two being in line with each other. It's just two sides of the same coin. There's the ase component and there's the loisase component. What comes to mind, I will end with this, and that is that the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says that the only time a person's over the loisase of loisisnas achicho bilvavecha is if Reuven hates Shimon and he doesn't tell Shimon about it. He keeps it inside. So when you keep it inside, you allow it to fester, says the Rambam. Why? And the Rambam says there's a lumdus here. The lumdus is because a sinner that a person keeps inside his lave, it boils, it festers, it's a different type of sinner. When a person lets it go, so fakir, he doesn't feel as bad anymore. And the diak is, it says, loisisna esachicha bilvavecha. What about the mitzvah say? What about the yahavta reyacha kamoicha? If a person has a sinner towards somebody and he tells the person about it. So the Rambam said, you're not over loisisna esachicha bilvavecha, because it's not a bilvavecha anymore. What about v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha? Are you over v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha or not? So I'll tell you one maramach. We know the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Masechtas Kedushin. Also, la'odam sheikadish isha ad sheyirena. Why? Because we're afraid. Maybe you're going to see her. V'tiskana olav. V'atayra amra. And the Torah says, v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha. So ish mekadesh boyo b'shlucha. But at the same time, you have to see the woman you're marrying before you marry her. Because we're concerned that if you don't see her, maybe when you do meet her, you're not going to like what you see. You're going to end up not liking her, and you're going to be over v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha. Freit Rabbi Yosef Enkel and Gulyoni Ashaz. Then why did the Gemara say that if you meet your wife and you decide that you don't like her, she's not appealing to you, you'll be over via haftar yachar kamecha? Say better. Right, you're saying good, say better. You've been over the loisase. Loisisna sachicha bevavecha. A loisase is more chomer than an ase. So why does the Gemara say you're going to be over via haftar? Why did the Gemara say you're going to be over loisisna? It's even a loisase. Zakr of Yosef Engel says it's not muchach you're going to be over the loisase. Because the Rambam said that the only time you're over the loisase is only if you keep it bevavecha. But if you say something, you're not over loisisna. So to think that a man and a woman are going to be married, he's really not going to like his wife, and he's never going to say anything about it, that's already loishchiach. If he has something he wants to say, he's probably going to say it. So the Gemara didn't say you're going to be over loishisna, because that the Gemara, nah, you're not going to, don't worry about it. You're not going to be chzug d'chzi. You won't be over loishisna. But v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha, that you'll still be over. Because even if you say something, still it's going to be v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha. So what do you see from Rabbi Yosef Engel? You see from Rabbi Yosef Engel that there's a chiluk, yisoidi, between v'yahavta reyacha kamoicha and loishisna. They're not two sides of the same coin. There's loisisna, which has its shulchan aruch, and there's v'yahavta, that has its shulchan aruch. Loisisna is only if you keep it bilvavecha. V'yahavta, that's even if you don't keep it bilvavecha. Perhaps we have another nafkemina. Loisisna is only true if the person's not a rasha. If he's a rasha, haloi misanech Hashem esna. You're allowed to hate him, but at the same time, you can hate him, but you have to love him. So how exactly you work that out? Oh, he thinks I get the kasha. How do you work that out? I hate you and I love you. That's on the day. But either way, we'll have to work that out.